You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. Today is, yes, I'm going to say it, hump day. Humpty hump, hump, hump day. It's Wednesday, my favorite day of the week. Oops. Strike that, I have to now say my second favorite day of the week because, as you all know, Sunday night I've opened up to also host the same show, different time, different day, of course. So Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I have guests on as well. So now it's Sunday and Wednesday are my favorite days of the week, but there's really nothing to rhyme with Sunday other than Sunday and too close to Monday. Anyway. Today has been an exceptionally exciting and busy day. I was able to hang out with Jennifer Hill of Intuitive Nutrition and Portsmouth Public TV in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We did a little bit of she cooked my favorite dish, which is chili, and I've never actually had vegan cheese because I am a Cabot cheeseaholic. Yes, there are support groups for those of us who are totally into real cheddar cheese. But Jennifer is a vegan, and so she encouraged me to try cheese, and I can testify 2 hours later I'm still alive, and frankly, it was actually pretty good. I was surprised, always fearful of things that say they're one thing and they're not. Ironically, Jennifer knows that I'm a prankster, so she thought she was going to one-up me, and as I'm eating this chili that was delicious, and she doesn't know that I have a crock pot in my trunk, she'll find out later, and my phone will be, you know, closed. I won't answer. Anyway, it was really, really good. She thought she was a prankster and threw a jumping bean, Mexican jumping bean, in my bowl, and so I'm eating and she's chatting, even though I was supposed to be answering her questions. I was just answering with nom, 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 nom. And we do this magic trick and dress and we're in our yoga clothes and we finish the show with a yoga pose. But unfortunately, her trick backfired. She thought she was pranking me. Didn't work out in her favor because the Mexican jumping bean went all the way down to my belly button as we were posing the warrior pose, yoga, for those of you who know, and my belly button actually popped off, hit the camera, and there was this poor, sweet, young camera fella who got whacked in the nose with the camera. This is a true story. You have to watch the show. Details will be coming out on my website and Twitter and Facebook and Google and all of that. So we had to find my belly button, find an ice pack for the poor young lad, and I ended up changing my address so he can't sue me for belly button abuse. But that will be on hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and so keep me posted, or I'll keep you all posted. Make sure you go to facebook.com/celiacroads to find me and connect with me, or Twitter, which is Rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E, Mac, M-A-C, to keep abreast of all of the wonderful and fun things that I'm doing. And that was just a great, great time. I'm really grateful to Jennifer Hill of Intuitive Nutrition and Portsmouth Public TV for a laughable, wonderful time today. Today, again, I have Catherine A. Marshall, Ph.D. of Willie. Yes, Willie. This organization is a great organization that helps support women all over the world. I cannot wait to get her on, but it's going to be one more minute. I also want to remind you that my latest blog was posted yesterday. It is Trash the Box. Very cool. It's about trashing boxes and burning them and stepping on them and coloring them and all kinds of things. So definitely go to rustymacdonald.com, look up to the top right, and it'll say blog, click on blog. There it is, all of the blogs that I've written so far this year. They've actually become very, very popular. My Sex and the Single Parent blog was posted under Infidelity Las Vegas or something along those lines. You'll have to look at my blog post and tweet. It's all on Twitter. Very, very cool. She loved it. She actually cracked up quite a bit. So I'm glad the blogs are working. Yesterday I spent most of the day vlogging, which is not hurting anybody. It's not clogging, not dancing. It's vlogging, video blogging. And hopefully Shane, my poor guy, will be able to put all that video together. And I'm sure the outtakes will be way more interesting than the intake. But maybe I'll be in the intake line. I don't know. Feel free to connect to Celiac Sprue Association. My birthday is just around the corner. I'm going to be 380 years old, so instead of sending me a card, please, please, please donate to the Celiac Sprue Association. They are my friends. We are trying to raise awareness, research, and offer resources on an international level for those of us who have celiac disease. So this is a huge cause, and you know how I feel about it. It's very, very important. Last but not least, I want to give a shout-out to Lisa Oglesby. I can't say your name, so don't hurt me. She is a loan officer that helped me finalize my loan, and Chloe and I will be closing on our house all by our big girl selves tomorrow, finally. So big shout-out to Lisa Oglesby, and her email is Lisa, L-I-S-A, at golf. GULF-Western.com. If you want the job done right, go to her. She's got it going on. She was able to make this happen for a single mom and an 8-year-old girl who squealed like a pig and busted a few eardrums. And thank God I knew better because I had earplugs in. All right. Those are all the updates for today. And I have Miss Catherine on the line. Hello, Miss Catherine. How are you?
Hello, clever girl.
Mm-hmm. How are you today?
I'm good. I enjoy listening to you.
It's a lot of updates. It really is.
Well, that means you can talk more during this interview, and I'll listen.
Nice try.
Go ahead.
I'm having a bit of a hard time hearing you. Can you speak up or put the phone closer to your...
No, I've got the phone right by my ear. I'm sorry. Can you hear me better?
It's a little bit. Can you scream at the phone? It's going to be a very painful interview.
Oh, no. Okay, I can scream. This is cell phone service from Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, that's much better, actually, so don't move.
Okay. So then I'm sort
of... This will be a yoga pose.
I am shouting.
Okay.
But if that's
well,
better,
I can hear
I'll
you now.
Shout.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. So, Ms. Catherine, who are you and what do you do?
Wow. That's a tough one to start with. For the purpose of this interview, I am the naive founder of the Women's International Leadership Institute. I say naive because I had no idea how hard the work of being a volunteer founder of a nonprofit charitable organization would be. So I'm happy to answer any questions about Wheelie, and we actually use the sort of Spanish pronunciation, Wheelie, W-I-L-I.
All right. So give me a little bit of an understanding of who you were before you joined Wheelie.
Oh. Well, really, I would enjoy listening to you, Rusty. I think, I'm just a person. I think that's important. I think I'm just a regular person. One of the challenges, I think, to running a nonprofit, that is to low-income women in achieving their educational and career goals, is that I don't think I realized that it was actually probably smart to have been born wealthy or to have a lot of money to start a nonprofit. I thought that any normal person even a person such as myself from a low-income background, from rural North Georgia, the state that is, not the country, you know, could do it. You know, anybody could help anybody. And I think, like I say, that was kind of naive. I think probably having a lot of money before you have a foundation, like Kellogg's, like Ford, it's probably the way to go. I would be really interested in your listeners' opinion on that. I just say that because it's so hard to fundraise, to ask people to donate money to help low-income women. I mean, it's not so hard to ask, actually. It's hard to get folks who actually believe in the mission to actually donate the money. So I'm all about trying to help low-income women, like just maybe that little bit of extra money to buy for school, whatever it is, you know. We have $500 Wheelie Awards when we have the money in the checking account. This year, 2014 already, we have given four Wheelie Awards. So I can talk about those in a bit if you'd like. But basically, like I say, I mean, I'm just a normal person, and I'm terribly interesting. I think the organization and what we're trying to do is interesting.
Now, you were, if I remember correctly, because we spoke a couple months back, I had stumbled across your website and really was intrigued by what you do. And had interest in actually being on your board or somehow assisting in a volunteer capacity with this organization. But if I remember correctly, you were a professor. Is that correct?
Yeah. And you spoke actually with Dagmar Cushing, who is the board secretary. A bit about my professional background. I have my academic background is working in chronic illness and disability. And for the past 10 years, I've been working in trying to help low-income families understand cancer as a chronic illness. What happens, though, is that most of this work is either funded or not, you know, by the National Cancer Institute or the American Cancer Society, different foundations. And right now, funding is bad. So I haven't been funded in 2 years to do the cancer work. So
right.
That, though, is when I do have funding. So when I am working, it is in that area. So here in Tucson, I can say, you know, I can say for a couple years, the last funding we had was 2009, 2011. We worked with primarily low-income Spanish-speaking families, some of whom do not have the money to pay for cancer treatment. So it's all in addition to helping them understand what cancer is and treatment options, it's also helping to find treatment where there is no family resources to pay for it. But it's sad, kind of sad work.
Well, but what, the point that I'm trying to drive is who you are as an individual and why you're attracted to the kind of work that you do. So that's what I'm trying to pull out of you a little bit to give it the viewers an understanding of who you are as a person. And from what I understand, you do a lot for the community, and you're what we call a giver. You're really a compassionate, loving person, and so that's what I'm trying to drag out of you. You're so humble and you're so sweet that I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but I also have to verbally have over 200,000 people understand who you are and why you do what you do. Does that make sense? So we're painting a verbal picture of who you are and why Willie, and I want to learn about some of the award winners because I heard there's some excitement there, and we might actually have one on the show at some point. Is that right, to talk about their experience?
Well, I hope so. We've asked one young woman in particular if she would call in, so I suppose we just wait to see if that's happening. She's still in school and has to juggle our request with her classwork.
Right.
But thank you so much, Rusty, for, like I say, sort of summarizing what we try to do. I think we welcome any interest that you have. I know how busy you are, but again, I mean, what a blessing for us if you could actually come on the board. Is one of the things, like I say, I mean, I don't know if this is true of all people you would call givers, but I do think we do things naively and we just say, oh, well, this is something that needs to be done, but then don't really investigate what all that means. And so one of the things I've had to learn is that, yes, a 501c3 is a real business. We don't have employees. All of our board members are volunteer. But it's still a business with legal obligations, and the board is responsible for that. So we're always looking for board members who care about the mission and have time to contribute. I think that when I started off by saying that it would be great to have family money, personal money, lots of money, again, I think it's a great question if people who are giving can give if they actually don't have their own money, you know? If you're just a regular 9-to-5 worker who may or may not have an income. And I think it has big questions for the kind of work that you try to promote in terms of thriving and living and paying attention to people around you. I mean, how can we shift more money into the hands of people who need just, like I say, just a little more to get done what they want to do in life? So, for example, one of the Lilly Awards we have just given out is going to a Native American woman, single parent, art teacher, who wants to spend a few weeks in Washington, or might just be a few days, in Washington this summer at an art education workshop, taking advantage of all the information and opportunities through the Smithsonian. And so we were like, well, you know, you're a school teacher. How can you be low income? Why do you need this money? And in Arizona, I'm ashamed to say, A, teachers can be low income just by virtue of how poor the salaries are. But this particular woman also had some serious illness recently. And I won't go into the details, but certainly, you know, we saw from her story that her self-identification of low income was very legitimate. And so we're hoping that through this $500 Lilly Award that we were able to give her to help with the cost of her trip to Washington this summer, that, you know, again, it benefits not only her, but think of all of her students. And so it kind of goes like that.
So if you're out there listening, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and I have Dr. Catherine on the line, who is the creator of Lilly. And it's a fabulous organization that assists women to grow in many ways. Pipe in. Give us a call. Ask Dr. Catherine questions. The number here is 347-205-9443. And we're going to take a quick break and come right back.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Rusty explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. For more information, go to her site at rustymcdonald.com. Not McDonald like the farmer, or certainly not like the fast food. Rusty McDonald,
just what the doctor ordered. Listen to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, life coach, radio talk show host, single mom, and blogger.
Hey, and we're back. It's like magic, Radio Land. So I am fortunate enough to have Dr. Catherine on from Wheelie, and that is a great organization. Dr. Catherine, can you actually give us how we find out more about you? Do you have a website?
Yes, and we could certainly use a volunteer website updater. But our website is www.wili.org. You'll also find the application for Wili support right on the homepage. And my email is also on the website, but I can give it to you now. So it's my name, catherine.marshall@wili.org. Catherine is C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, and then dot Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, at wili.org.
And one of the things that I love about your website is that you're pretty cut and dry. You're pretty black and white, right to the point. And I love the pictures. I love the pictures of the teenage moms in Mexico. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that story? Because they're just so cute. The babies are cute.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, I think the work in Mexico is important to Wili. We have probably our history as an organization to link to the folks in Oaxaca, Mexico. So we started there because we were, again, working with women with disabilities who did not have a lot of opportunities or any opportunities to further their education, to have an education, to gain employment. So we founded this 501c3 in the United States, and we've been able to fund several different projects in Mexico over the years. We've been in existence since 2000, so that's coming up on, 14 years now. So the moms, the single-parent moms, again, we have a wonderful woman who is a longtime friend of Wili in Oaxaca, working with single-parent single-parent youth. And she has all kinds of different projects that she involves them in, making candles and this, that, and the other things to try and sell. She's also been very interested in trying to help women who in their youth were prostitutes because, again, they had no other opportunities for work. But now that they are aging, there's not, again, so much call for their services. A current project in Oaxaca, we've just funded a young woman who works with migrants in Oaxaca. So I think here in the United States, we hear a lot about migrants to the United States from Mexico and some of the problems that they encounter once they arrive in the United States. In Oaxaca, what they face, which is southern Mexico, what they face are migrants from Central America who are traveling up through Mexico in an attempt to reach the United States. And so maybe, again, native people from Guatemala who find themselves in southern Mexico, which is where the state of Oaxaca is located. And so this young woman who we have funded, again, a $500 Wili Award, asked us to assist her in continuing her education in a program to better learn how to, again, help in humanitarian causes, how to better help these people who are traveling through her country. So we actually would love to be able to put together an educational trip to Oaxaca so that people could meet the people we work with and then the people they work with. So we're really excited about that idea. And, again, Rusty, if you or others have recommendations on logistics of, you know, ways to take an educational trip or to organize an educational trip, we really are open to hearing for those ideas because we wouldn't anticipate that it would be necessarily a fun holiday, but a learning experience.
So what I'd like to do, I'm muting myself out because I can hear you better. So that's what the pause is, just so, you know, I didn't fall asleep or anything. Aliens didn't abduct me. I'm here. I'm listening. What I would like to step back a little bit and give the viewers an understanding of a key piece that you mentioned, and I've had World Footprints was on a few months ago in regards to human trafficking. And we talked a little bit about youth in prostitution roles. You mentioned that some of the youth that you're working with were ex-prostitutes, but that role kind of expired because they were aging. What does that mean? Describe that for us.
Yeah, because that's actually two stories. I tend to do that. I tend to link stories. So the youth that our friends in Oaxaca are working with, the single parents, they were not the prostitutes. So that's one story, the youth who are single parents and work opportunities that we've been a part of trying to help develop. There's a second story, another story, has to do with people who in their youth were prostitutes. And those tend to be, again, Native women, Indigenous women, who had no possible income opportunities in their rural villages. So they would come into the city of Oaxaca, the capital city, hoping to find work. And then, as it turns out, the work they were able to find was prostitution. Then as they age, that work opportunity goes away. So two stories there.
So I watched a documentary about, I think the Russian twins that were prostitutes. I don't remember. It was on Netflix. It was really an interesting story about these twins who spent their whole life as prostitutes. But there are some organizations. There was one in a different country. I think it was India, also talking about prostitution as the only way for women to make money, especially if you're a single parent. And in the year 2014, I kind of scratched my head going, really? Is this still possible?
Right.
But some of the groups of prostitutes, if you're like 18 or 20, that's actually considered old. Is that similar to what you experienced there? I mean,
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, it's not my area of expertise, but certainly if folks are interested and your listeners want to know more about how they could help this group of women in Oaxaca, ask them to email me because the lady we're working with down there is Patty Vasquez Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be so thrilled to know that other people were concerned and interested in this issue. I think the saddest thing for me, and at least in terms of the Oaxaca piece, is just the fact that, let me get political here for a minute, that in the United States, you know, sometimes, you know, and we're such a wealthy country, and we can be so unaware and uneducated on the needs of our neighbor country, Mexico. I mean, you know, they're our neighbor. They're right here on our border. So that has been a part of the mission of Wheatley, I think, over the years, even though it's not a stated mission. It's been a part of us trying to say, hey, look, these guys are our neighbors. I mean, you know, hands across the border. Let's work together. The Spanish word is vecinos for neighbor. I mean, we're vecinos. Let's work together.
Well, and that's why this show resonates with me personally, because I feel very strongly that there are many issues that we're not aware of, and here is a possibility to really discuss those in depth and get people inspired and get them motivated and challenge them and have them crawl out of their skin a little bit. So, you know, the more stories you share and the more in depth you go about the importance of your organization, the more interest we will be able to gather for you.
Well, yeah, no, again, well, you're very sweet. I mean, I appreciate that. I think I'm pretty – I like the fact earlier, too, where you said I'm pretty cut and dried. I like your creative flair and your ability to articulate the issues. I can tell stories. I can write stories. I think they're all – you mean they're all true stories? And I think – if I could ask for another blessing, it would be a way to find ways to get other people excited about the people that have crossed, you know, Wheatley's life. One story comes from Australia, again, where we were working with Indigenous women who have disabilities. And sometimes people ask, well, is Wheatley about, you know, only about helping people with disabilities? And the answer is no. We're about helping low-income women, and if you ask then who are most often the most poorest people in the world, the answer is most often they are low-income people or low-income women with disabilities. Don't know why that is, but it's certainly true, it seems. So we were in Australia, and I was interviewing a woman who had some kidney failure and some other things going on. She was in a wheelchair, and she didn't want to really talk to me. She said she'd had it with talking to people that day. And then she said, no, wait a minute. You know, she goes, did you grow up anywhere? Are you from anywhere near Nashville, Tennessee? And I'm like, well, given the world, yes. As a matter of fact, Georgia, North Georgia, is right near Nashville, Tennessee. And she's like, well, I love Charlie Pride. I love Dolly Parton. And so she's talking about, you know, these country singers. And long story short, she said, I'll talk to you. I'll share more of my story with you just because I love country music so much. And you're from, you know, country music land. And I thought, wow. And later I was talking to another young Aboriginal woman about this, and she said, oh, yeah, out in the outback, you know, her family would sit around and sing Dolly Parton songs. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's such some of her early songs are such tearjerker songs, like, you know, Coat of Many Colors, where her mom made a coat out of rags and patchwork, and then she went to school and all the kids laughed at her or something, you know. So, again, I think about all the connections, all the commonalities we can find across the world, and country music, you know, again, stories of just common, normal people. How can that bring us together to care about each other? And, again, back to Wheatley's connections with Mexico, I mean, we've been told by people, we're not going to fund you, we're not going to donate any money to you because you'll turn around and use that money in Mexico, when in the United States we have our own problems. I'm like, okay, but really? I mean, again, we believe we thrive. We're happy to help our neighbors when we have you know, an extra $500 in the checking account. I mean, that's what it's about, I think.
Well, and I think there's definitely an argument for both, and that is a very sensitive subject, I think, for some people in regards to why would we help people elsewhere when we have so many people in need here. But as far as I understood, you actually do both. You help individuals in Tucson as well. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. And different, you know, it's not even limited to Tucson. Some of our because we're international, we're national, people can make application via the website from anywhere. So we've actually given Wheelie Awards to people in different parts of the country. Yeah. Internationally, we've mainly focused, it's true, on Mexico and Australia, just because that's where our lives have taken us and where we've met some of these women personally, so we know who they are.
Well, and I think it's wonderful that with a volunteer-driven organization that you're able to get all the way across the world to help women. That actually speaks volumes about the dedication your volunteers have.
So the volunteers, yeah, and like I said, though, we actually tap into people locally in these other countries, and we really, like I say, we appreciate so much help of people who have ideas about how to work better internationally, how to make connections happen, because we end up calling the embassy in Mexico City, the U.S. embassy in Mexico City. We plead our case to allow people to come here for a week to work with us. So there's a lot of things that go on, like I say, that I naively did not expect when I started the organization. And some of it gets political. When the U.S. Embassy denies a visa, for example, we had one young woman who had hemiplegia, so she is paralyzed on the entire left side of her body, but she also was in school. And I asked her once, well, how was it that you got to go on for even a higher education? She was working on a degree in economics. How was it you were able to go to school when so many of the people we know in Mexico didn't even get to first grade because of their disability? And she said, well, in part, it was her parents never allowed her to think for a minute that she had a disability. So she was going to come to the United States and give a presentation. And we paid for her to apply for a visa to come to the United States for, you know, the week or so that it would take to do the presentation. And the U.S. Embassy denied her visa. So I called down, talked to two or three different people in Mexico City at the U.S. Embassy, and I was told that absolutely that the people who screen for visa applications only have like less than 1 minute per applicant. So the applicant comes in the room and they ask him a question, and then the answer determines whether or not the visa is approved. And so this young woman was asked, is it true that you're a single female student? And she said, yes. And the answer was visa denied. So when I'm calling down, they're saying, what? What? Really? I was told that the classic profile of someone who would not return to Mexico, they feared, would be a person who was a single female student. So I'm like, oh, they learn a lot.
Wow. So they have 1 minute, and if they're not in a very good mood, they can just deny you because they're not in a good mood? So how does one reapply? I mean, now that you have that information, do you reply and say that she's not a single female student?
There's two answers here. One, because I can be very persuasive if I, Catherine Marshall, call and talk to the U.S. Embassy staff and, you know, explain over and over again what's going on. Sometimes I get a person who says, oh, okay, send them back up. So that's another couple hundred dollars. Send them back up. Because keep in mind that when people apply for a visa, they have to leave their hometown, wherever this is in Mexico, travel to Mexico City, have an appointment at the embassy, and then go back, right? I mean, this is an involved process. So sometimes I have in the past been able to overturn or help overturn a decision just by my own intervention in the process.
Right.
Sometimes, though, you know, the people don't want to go back. So I mentioned this woman, Patty Vasquez, who works with us. She's a psychologist, okay? The well-educated women in Oaxaca. And she said she was so humiliated when her visa application was denied by the U.S. Embassy staff person who interviewed her, that she would
right.
not go back no matter what. She simply would not go back. So, it, you know, it just depends, and I think that I think I just would, again, welcome anyone who is interested in advocating for low-income women and trying to help figure out what is that one thing more we could do to make their career and educational dreams come true. Because I don't believe that not having money should stop someone from being able to access an education, you know?
I absolutely agree, and coming from an impoverished background myself with lots of hurdles to jump, I really had to fight for it. And some of the interesting pieces as a female here in America, and I can only imagine what it's like to be in a different country where there's even less support for women, the amount of times I was told that I was never going to graduate high school, I was never going to graduate college, I was never going to be anything because of my background. I wonder what it's like to not, I wonder what it's like for these women to really have to work, I mean, 10 times as hard as I did. I can only imagine to even try to get a visa.
I appreciate your sharing that story because, let me just talk over you.
No, go for it, because this show is about you. I'm just here to kind of guide you along so that you can share your story. That's what it's about.
Oh, drag me on. No, but that's true. I mean, I've also heard, no, you can't do that, or no, that won't work for you, you know. And so I think it's part of that. It's that same, well, yes, I can. Of course, you never know how much more you could have done if someone had shown you the path, but
right.
I think part of what drove me with the Wheelie organization, with putting it together, was, again, if someone said, I really want to do this, and I just need, what, $100, $200, $300? Why can't we just say, okay, here's the money. I just think that there are a lot of arguments for, get people a loan. There's the whole microloan piece. There's a lot of different philosophies about how to help your term impoverished people. And, you know, my thought with Wheelie was, sure, I mean, we're up for anything. But sometimes I remember from my own education that even though I worked from the time I was 16 years old, even though I worked and paid for my college education with no help from my parents whatsoever, let me get away from that phone, I think that the few times when someone gave me a flat-out grant, just put actual money into my hand and didn't ask for it to be paid back, what a gift that was. I mean, what an absolute great gift that was. So again, I mean, even though the most we've ever been able to actually give probably was $1,000 towards someone's education career goal, mostly $500. But if we can give that gift, I just think, why not? There's enough struggle. Why not just give that small gift if it can make a difference and allow someone to actually do what they wanted to do?
So why don't we make a difference today, Dr. Catherine? It's you, me, 200,000 other people internationally. What is it that would really, if you had a huge, it's your birthday, it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, whatever package you want, whatever color wrapping you want, what would you really, 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 really need for the year 2014 to accomplish the goals of helping these women all over the world, from here to Australia, literally wrapping it around the world? What do you need? What do you need from us? $1, $5, $2 million?
Well, I think it's, you know, that's a wonderful question. And I always tell people, well, you know what, you can give one Wheelie Awards $500 or, you know, help me with my math. 10 people can give 50, 100 can give 5. I mean, I think if people have to give money again, make a check out to Wheelie, W-I-L-I. Go on the website, donate through PayPal. We're a 501c3, so if you're in the States and looking for a tax deduction, that works. One of the goals that we have for 2014 in particular is to hold a second Wheelie Women's Writing Workshop. We would invite people who are interested to be in touch with us about that. We did that first in 2012. We got a group of about 10 ladies together. In 2014, we'd love that group to be 50 ladies. We met for a day and a half at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, which is a beautiful venue here in Tucson. And we shared stories. We wrote stories. Some of the women wrote stories about how they came to be in the careers that they're in, so that these stories actually, you know, shed some light, gave a path to other women who didn't quite know what they wanted to do. Other women, one of the people we had hoped could maybe just call in and join the show today, other women were young women who were struggling to write the personal narrative, the personal stories that are so often required on financial aid forms. Have you seen those, Rusty? You know, you're supposed to write a little paragraph about who you are and why someone should give you money.
Yes, I remember that quite well. It's intimidating no matter who you are.
Well, there you go. Maybe you can talk about
that
a little bit. We had a couple of women who struggling to write that story, and I have read where, again, people struggle to write that. So we're like, let's help you write that. So we all worked together, like I said, for a day and a half, writing our stories, a lot of laughter, a lot of tears. And one of the young students who was there had started out with a story that people were like, oh, this is kind of long. This is kind of difficult to follow. Gave her some feedback day one. Homework for that evening was to rewrite it. Came back the next day. She read it. It was amazing. She was accepted subsequently using that story into a sort of summer research program that she'd been trying to get into over in Minnesota, I think. We had a woman attending the workshop who was a professor at Cornell University. She offered at the workshop to continue mentoring this young woman until her story was actually perfect, perfect, perfect. And she did that. So there's a number of things that we are interested in, and to the extent that people are willing to share their stories and help others write their stories for the purpose of this, personal aid for financial aid and for college applications, that's a program we're really excited about, and we need money to have that happen.
All right, so we're down to the wire. You have about 4 minutes left. This is the toughest question. Well, at least that's what I'm told. I think it's rather easy, but in the next 4 minutes, what is it that you want over 200,000 people on an international level to take away from today's show? What is the most powerful, inspiring, motivating, and yet can be challenging request or question?
You're right. That's a tough question. No, I'm just going to say again, in your heart, you believe in the mission of Wheelie, which is to support low-income women to achieve their educational and career goals. Please donate to Wheelie. Please contact me. I hope I'm approachable. I think I am. Be glad to answer any questions you would have, and we would love to see you in Tucson, Arizona, where we're based. We have to meet with you in person.
Yay. All right. So I urge everyone to help Dr. Catherine and team with the Women's International Leadership Institute. And you can find more information at www.wili.org. You'll see about upcoming events, profiles, current projects, and the number one, fundraising. Or if you are a candidate for a Wheelie program, feel free to apply for support. If you scroll down, you can actually read the parameters under the application that Dr. Catherine and her team go through. Do you do that quarterly, or are there deadlines?
You know, we review applications as they come in. It takes about maybe a 2 to 3 week turnaround to receive an application.
All right. And again, a great organization to support. Some of the events that I noticed on your website, and I'm kind of running out of a little bit of time, but not only do you do the writing workshop, but I saw somewhere, and I'm trying to scramble through here, you offer cooking classes as well, is that correct? Or you did?
We have worked with in the past, again, with folks from Oaxaca, one of the very famous restaurants here in Tucson, the Poca Cosa Cafe, provided training opportunities. Yeah.
So as you all, we're here. As you all can hear, there are plenty of opportunities that Wheelie and Dr. Catherine are providing women all over the world. $1, $5, $10, and those of you with deeper pockets, $2, $3, $4 billion. That's great. You know, not monopoly money, folks. They really actually need the support to make this happen and to bring some more women to the forefront in education, training, and just emotional the emotional ability to move forward and get out of the dredges that we so commonly get encircled like a tornado, because sometimes it's hard for people to change habits and move forward in a positive direction. So, Dr. Catherine, I am so blessed that we finally were able to chat, and I love, love, love the work that you do, and full supporter, and this will be available to broadcast on your website at any time to encourage that support so that people have a better idea of who you are and what you do. And thank you. I'm grateful for all the work that you're doing to empower women on a global level.
Blessings to you, and thank you for having us.
Blessings to you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. I love, 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 love when people inspire other people to motivate, change, wiggle out of their skin, move forward, challenge themselves, think harder, strive harder, breathe harder, acknowledge the strengths and weaknesses that we have as individuals, as community, and globally. It's just a beautiful story, and I think Dr. Catherine's so, so humble. Her spirit was quite lovely. So definitely check them out at www.wheelie.org. And as for Sunday, can you believe that it's going to be February 2nd, 2014? Lord, this time is flying by so fast.
I have the guest that I have on is Preston Smiles. He is an author, a motivational speaker, and his new book is Love Louder. He also participates in the Uganda Project, and you can find more information about him on YouTube. He is a hot ticket, definitely a trailblazer in the making, so I'm looking forward to Sunday night to jam. We're going to jam and listen to his work with Michael Beckwith, and most of you who are connected in the spiritual community have read some of Reverend Beckwith's books, and he was also on The Secret, the movie, as well as in the book, I believe, or at least quoted. So we're going to have Preston Smiles on, and I hope that you all can join me. Call in and welcome him. Lots of hugs and laughter. As of now, it is time for me to say adieu. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't think you're beautiful, because you know I do. And I am so grateful that we get to walk this path together every Sunday night and every Wednesday, because I learn as much as you learn, and it's fun. So keep sending me the feedback. Keep sending me emails. Keep sending me tweets and Facebook posts. I love hearing the response. And, of course, my blogs are up, too. I'm getting quite a good response off of that. So until Sunday night, I love you. I'll talk to you then.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.